Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Fires burn near the White House after another night of demonstrations in response to the death of a black man while in police custody in Minnesota almost a week ago. After a curfew in Washington, D.C. went into effect, police used tear gas to disperse the crowd in a park across the street from the White House. Protesters then set fires nearby. Demonstrations against police brutality continued in New York City Sunday. Gwen Hogan from member station WNYC reports.
One of several marches across the city started at Union Square in Manhattan. Then they headed south, crossing the Williamsburg Bridge into Brooklyn. Marchers stopped traffic, with onlookers honking in support. Some said they hadn't planned to march, but joined when they saw the crowd passing by. A line of police officers tried to divert them from the street, and marchers erupted in chants of peaceful protest, peaceful protest. Then the officers cleared the way and let them pass. For NPR News, I'm Gwen Hogan in Brooklyn.
In Minneapolis Sunday, a tanker truck drove into protesters on a highway. The Minnesota State Patrol says it appears the action was deliberate. It says the driver is now in custody. Officials say it appears no protesters were hurt. Arizona's governor is imposing a week-long curfew on the state after rioters caused property damage and looters raided an upscale market mall in Scottsdale. From member station KJZZ, Scott Bork reports.
Until June 8th, Arizonans won't be allowed to leave their houses between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Governor Doug Ducey announced the curfew Sunday, saying that after discussion with local leaders, he would impose the order and authorize the National Guard to enforce it. Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego and Tucson Mayor Regina Romero both said they were blindsided by the curfew announcement, leaving them with less than 6 hours to prepare for the order to go into effect. The order exempts essential workers and religious services, as well as those who are, quote, patronizing private businesses. For NPR News, I'm Scott Bork in Phoenix.
Eight states in the District of Columbia are holding primary elections this week. NPR's Brian Naylor reports because of the pandemic, voters are expected to cast their ballots by mail.
The U.S. Postal Service released a letter to state and local election officials to remind them that they should allow a week for the post office to deliver mail-in ballots and that ballot envelopes should contain barcodes that identify them as such. The reminders come after three tubs of ballots were discovered undelivered after the Wisconsin primary and hundreds of ballots arrived too late to count in Ohio. Election experts say states need to allow enough time for the mailing of ballots. They also note that Western states where mail-in voting is common have few such problems. President Trump has railed against mail-in voting, claiming it's rife with fraud, but election officials from both parties say there's no such evidence.
This is NPR. The U.S. has sent Brazil 2 million doses of a malaria drug to treat or prevent the coronavirus. The drug, hydroxychloroquine, has been promoted by President Trump, who has said he has taken it himself. Scientific studies do not support its use against COVID-19 and warn it could be dangerous. Cases of COVID-19 continue to rise in Brazil, which now has the most number of infections in the world after the U.S. Two tribal casinos in Connecticut that have been closed because of the pandemic are to reopen Monday, the latest in the country to open their doors in defiance of state leadership. Connecticut Public Radio's Frankie Graziano reports.
Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun have been closed since March under the threat of COVID-19. Now tribal leaders believe they're ready to welcome players again, even though Governor Ned Lamont says it's too early. Rodney Butler is the chairman of the Mashantucket Pequots, the tribe that runs Foxwoods.
We feel like we've put forward a plan to mitigate the risk. Don't go with the perception of casinos were. Let's focus on what we're doing, and you have to come and see it.
The Connecticut gaming facilities are the first to reopen in a part of the country hit hard by the coronavirus. Foxwoods reopens at 25% occupancy. Patrons will have their temperatures checked at the door and will be required to wear masks. For NPR News, I'm Frankie Graziano in Glastonbury, Connecticut.
The average price of a gallon of gasoline rose 8 cents over the past 2 weeks. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg says the average price is now $2.05 a gallon, 88 cents less than a year ago. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.